Yeah, I mean, I would go back to what I said before, which is just about how much room this has to grow still. I think people look at the resource numbers and say, oh, this is a small asset. And it's a small asset so far. But you know, everything we've seen suggests that this has a lot of room to grow, and our drill results so far are demonstrating that. So I think the proof will be in the pudding here, right? We're relatively early in our drill program. We don't have any assays yet. Those will be coming soon. But I think once we start seeing, we hit here, we hit here, we hit here, right? People will say, oh wow, like not only is the resource there, but the long-term growth potential is there too.
Good day, everybody. Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. I have with me Steve Gray, President and CEO of Fox Tungsten. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. For our listeners, if you can tell us where Fox Tungsten is trading, your tickers, and if you can give your website.
Absolutely. So Fox Tungsten is listed on the TSX Venture Exchange under symbol FOXT. We also trade over the counter in the US under FOXTF. And you can find our website at foxtungsten.com.
Steve, let's get into it. If you want to tell us what Fox Tungsten's all about, if you can give us, you know, the jurisdiction where you're located and what you guys have.
Absolutely. So Fox Tungsten, we have what I believe is the highest grade tungsten resource in the world in British Columbia. We have an existing resource that's about 1% tungsten. Just to put that into context, what that means, because tungsten is a niche commodity that not everyone's familiar with. 1% tungsten at spot prices is the equivalent of about 20 grams gold or 25% copper. So this is an incredibly high grade resource, and it's a high grade resource in a great location. We're in southern BC near 100 Mile House. So we have road access onto the property. We have a power line that goes across the property. You can drive from our camp to the grocery store in about an hour. So we have grade, we have location, and in tungsten, we have a commodity that is very topical at the moment. So tungsten is uniquely hard and uniquely dense. That makes it an excellent drill bit, for example. But for the same reason, it's used in a lot of military applications in armor-piercing ammunition or jet turbine blades. And so it's a critical military supply chain input, but 80% of world tungsten comes from China and 0% comes from North America. So given kind of recent geopolitical tensions, that's a huge disconnect right there. That's a problem. And we think, again, with our high grades, with our location, right, with our potential for growth, we're in a great place to fill that gap. And so that's what we're working towards doing right now.
Steve, I'm very bullish and fascinated with tungsten. I think my understanding is you got diamond, and then after that, the next hard thing on the periodic table is tungsten, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, tungsten has the highest melting point of any metal in the world. It is also particularly hard, especially as a tungsten carbide. So you probably have in your garage some drill bits that are made out of tungsten carbide. So again, it's used in a lot of tool and die manufacturing. You know, it's kind of old fashioned in a way, right? Tungsten is really good at bashing into other stuff. and so it scales a lot with manufacturing activity. But again, it scales with kind of military activity too, right? It's a key military supply chain input.
So you talked a little bit about the demand in North America and the interest that North America would have in not being dependent upon, you know, nations like China for tungsten. If you can tell us a little bit more about just kind of the where you guys are. You mentioned grade, you mentioned scale. If just how much potential is there here where you guys are at the Fox project?
There's a lot. And I think the answer is we're still trying to figure it out. We still have not found the zeros in our drilling, right? So we have an existing resource. The resource is high grade, but relatively modest. So it's a little over a million tons, but we're working hard to grow it. So we have a fully funded 20,000 meter drill program that's happening as we speak. So we have two drills turning today. And the focus of that drill program is two things. One is it's expanding the resource. Trying to grow, trying to maximize the amount of inferred tons that we have. And that will feed into a resource update and a PEA that will be coming out early next year. But in parallel to that, we're also trying to figure out, okay, what is the bigger picture here? Because we haven't found the extents of this deposit yet. We don't know how far it goes along strike. We don't know how far it goes down dip. So while we're trying to do some closer space drilling to maximize the resource, we've also done some bigger step outs to figure out, okay, how far does this thing go? And that's we put out a press release this morning actually announcing some preliminary results at our Fox North target. So this was a step out of about 600 to 800 meters down dip. We successfully intersected mineralization, but also we successfully intersected mineralization in multiple parallel zones that we hadn't observed before. So that's incredibly encouraging, the fact that we can put holes down and everywhere we look, we find tungsten. Again, we're still figuring out how big this thing is, but it is very exciting.
Steve, if you can give us the milestones, the kind of trajectory, the big picture, kind of what's the plan here overall, and how quickly before we realize maybe more confidently of what we might have?
Yeah. So we have the existing resource. We have the funding, a balance sheet of about 15 million to build off of. What we're doing this year is, like I said, that 20,000 meter program. About 60% of that will be spent growing the resource and 40% on exploration. So our drill program will take us through to late October, which means we'll have our final assays around Christmas. And that will be the foundation that we build a resource update and a PEA. And so I think that PEA will be very important because that'll help us really contextualize what we have, right? I mean, one of the reasons I said talking about metal equivalence is because it is tough when tungsten is a niche commodity. Not everybody immediately understands how special this deposit is. And so I think once we have that PEA and once we're able to talk in terms of dollars and not just tons, that will make explaining what this is a lot easier for investors. So we're looking forward to that. Again, that's our plan, is we raise the money, we're doing the drilling, and then we'll do the resource update and the PEA on the back of that.
Steve, if you can confirm, you guys are in British Columbia. If you can tell us a little bit more about just kind of the infrastructure that's there, the relationships with the First Nations, any hurdles or roadblocks that might get in the way with permitting.
Yeah, so we're located about an hour to the northeast of the town of 100 Mile House. So you can drive from there along forestry roads right into camp. There's a power line that crosses our property. So we're not in the middle of nowhere. But we have great access to infrastructure. We're in southern BC. We are up pretty high in the mountains, so drilling is seasonal because of just the amount of snowfall that we get. But in terms of access, in terms of infrastructure, we're in a great position. We're lucky to have some wonderful local partners, and particularly the Tuscan First Nation. They have been a long-standing partner for us. They've been very supportive of the work that we've been doing. And I think they see, like us, the potential for economic growth that could come from this deposit. So they've been very supportive partners for a long time for the company, and I hope that they'll continue to do so. When we think about permitting, so we are permitted to do everything that we're doing now, right? We're permitted for exploration. But once we have the PEA in hand, that's when we'll need to start turning our attention to, okay, we need to start permitting mine, right? And so that is, that's work that we need to do. That will take time, but I don't anticipate any major red flags. I don't see anything that says, oh, we're not going to be able to get this permit across the line. This will be a relatively small scale, small footprint, mostly underground mine. We're not building Escondida or Red Chris here. This will be a small footprint, low CapEx operation. And the ore is clean. There's no mercury, there's no arsenic or any of that. So there's no major environmental red flags that would say, oh no, you're going to have a hard time permitting that. So we need to do the work, but from where we are right now, we're in as good a position as anyone can hope to be in.
Steve, if you can tell me a little bit more about just how you came across this property, and is there anybody else there? What excited you about it? How did you know there was tungsten there? And then if you can tell us kind of who else is in the area.
Yeah, so this was a greenfield discovery. This was found by a prospector a number of years ago. And so it outcrops at surface. And one of our zones is called the Nightcrawler Zone. And it's a very literal name because tungsten and scheelite glows under UV light. And so this prospector, a gentleman by the name of David Bland, who was with the company for a long time, he was crawling around at night with a black light and found some glowing rocks. And that's how it all started. And so that was a few years ago. There's been a lot of drilling that's happened since then. But yeah, this was a greenfield discovery. We are the only tungsten operation in kind of the immediate vicinity. We're in more of a gold province, I would say. There's a Osisko's Cariboo project is not that far from us. Mount Polley is not that far from us. But we are the only tungsten project in the immediate vicinity.
So you guys, the Nightcrawler just got a black light and looked for scheelite and just he
Yeah.
told you this is where you want to be.
That's right. That's how it all started. Yeah.
Do you guys have other things besides tungsten, like either a kicker or bonus, anything that you're extracting, or is tungsten just your primary focus?
So at Fox, there's a little bit of zinc, there's a little bit of silver. But because the tungsten grade is so high as a percentage of revenue, those are pretty minor. But we do have our secondary project is called Silver Boss. So this is a copper moly project. It's earlier stage, but still very exciting. We have all the land around Glencore's old Boss Mountain moly mine. So that was a very high grade molybdenum mine that operated in the 60s and 70s. And we've staked all the ground around that. The mine has now been reclaimed and closed. But we did some geophysics last summer that suggested the mineralized system at Boss Mountain potentially extends onto our property. And we'll be chasing that up this summer with a drill bit. So very exciting to have, a secondary target. Copper and moly, also very important critical minerals. But much earlier stage, it's at the pre-resource stage.
Steve, if you can, let's go to the financials a bit. If you can give us the balance and share structure of how this is structured.
Yeah. So we have a market cap of about 50 million with about 275 million shares outstanding, and then about 80 million options and warrants on top of that. Our balance sheet is quite healthy. At the start of the drill program, we had about $15 million of working capital. That was on the back of a raise that we did earlier this year for about 13 million, plus some existing cash and some existing shares we had on the balance sheet. So we're fully funded to both execute the drill program and complete the PEA, and that will take us through to early Q2 next year. Once we have the PEA, once we have the resource, we'll have to decide on, okay, where do we go from there? Another important aspect of our balance sheet is we do own about $2 million worth of shares of Metal Energy, and that's the result of a property sale. We used to have another project in British Columbia. We sold it. We have $2 million worth of their shares on our balance sheet as a result of that deal. And they owe us another $6 million over the next 4 years. That's a very important financial backstop for the company because those are all hard dollars. And so that's our G&A paid for in effect forever. And so when we do go to raise money, investors are confident that, we're raising flow through, we're raising money for drilling. Those dollars are going into the ground. They're not going to pay my salary and pay conference for conferences and stuff, right? It's money for drilling.
Steve, do you have any meaningful insiders, institutions? If you can give us a percentage breakdown, if you can.
Yeah, so we're lucky to have a couple big cornerstone shareholders who have been with us for a while. First, we have Waratah, which is a mining fund. They own 19.9%. Also, we have Power One. They own collectively about 9.9%. So those are two big cornerstone shareholders who have been with us and supported the company for another year or a number of years. So we're very grateful for that. Management and insiders are another maybe 5 to 10%. And we've had some other bigger institutional shareholders came along as part of our most recent raise as well.
And how much skin do you have in the game? And if you can tell us a little bit about Steve Gray, what's your background? And then who else do you have around you that could complement your team?
Yeah. So there's been a lot of changeover. That was one of the first things we did when I became CEO in November of last year, was we've completely remade this team. So we have a new CEO and myself. We have a new CFO. We have a new board. We have a new QP. We have a new corporate secretary. We have a new geology team on the ground. So that was the first thing I did when I came into the job, was completely rebuild the team and get us ready to take the next step. For me personally, so I'm a mining engineer, MBA background. I cut my teeth working for Rio Tinto in Australia in an operational role before joining Kinross Gold and their corporate development team. And I worked there for about a decade. So I have a mix of, I would say, an operational and an M&A background. But we have a very strong, very diverse team. Led on the ground by a group called Coast Mountain, who are running our geological program this year. They're a very experienced contractor. And one of their key claims to fame is they're actually Fireweed's drill contractor as well, which holds a very similar asset to ours geologically up in Yukon. So they're a team that's familiar with tungsten, familiar with critical minerals, familiar with operating in Western Canada. So yeah, I think we have a great team when we're well set up to take this to the next level.
Steve, if you can give us your market cap one more time, and if you can put it in light of what you said earlier. I think you said you have the either the biggest or the biggest tungsten project or something like that. If you can correct what I my correct me where I'm mistaken, but if you can tell me also kind of where you think you should be in light of kind of what your project stands compared to your peers.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're extremely undervalued, which is, I mean, obviously every junior mining company CEO is going to say that, but I think that's particularly true in our case. I mean, we have a market cap of about 40 or 50 million, depending on where we're trading at the moment. But again, to have the highest grade tungsten resource in the world, to be open for expansion everywhere, to be consistently hidden, and to demonstrate that, yes, this has room for growth. I think this company is extremely undervalued. And I think that's just purely a function of not the asset quality, but just getting the message out there. And I think that's what we need to do a better job of doing, is just explaining to everybody how special this asset is and how high these grades are.
How high are the grades compared to your peers? If you can kind of put in layman's terms, kind of just what the difference is. Is it so drastic that like people should be paying more attention?
Well, definitely they should be paying more attention. So our average resource grade is about 1%. I would say the average produced grade globally is, maybe 0.4, 0.5. We do have some peers that are around 0.8. So, we're not an order of magnitude higher than anybody, but I think what we do have that distinguishes us is that combination of high grade and the location, right? The fact that we have grades, but we have grades that are accessible, that are in British Columbia, that have road access, that are easy to grow and will be easy to produce.
Is there something that when you talk with potential investors, kind of the thing that you find that's most misunderstood, whether it's what tungsten is or the jurisdiction, or just what are the biggest misunderstandings you find for your company? And then if you can tell us if you have any things that we can look forward to that might potentially re-rate or just kind of big catalyst that you have coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I would go back to what I said before, which is just about how much room this has to grow still. I think people look at the resource numbers and say, oh, this is a small asset, and it's a small asset so far. But everything we've seen suggests that this has a lot of room to grow, and our drill results so far are demonstrating that. So I think the proof will be in the pudding here, right? We're relatively early in our drill program. We don't have any assays yet. Those will be coming soon. But I think once we start seeing, we hit here, we hit here, we hit here, right? People say, oh, wow, like not only is the resource there, but the long-term growth potential is there too.
Yeah. Steve, for our listeners, I have shared that I am a big tungsten fan and bullish on tungsten. I currently am not an investor in tungsten. Normally, I reserve my investments until after an interview like this. But I'm not giving investment advice, but it is worth doing your due diligence. And one of the ways our listeners can do that is to reach out to Steve and to check out the website, follow their ticker and the story. If you can give us, Steve, just the best way to do that, how to follow your story, how to reach out to you with questions, and if you can give your ticker and your where you're trading one more time.
Absolutely. So Fox Tungsten, foxtungsten.com. We trade on the TSX Venture as FOXT and in the US over the counter as FOXTF. My personal cell phone number is on the website. My personal email is on the website. Please reach out anytime. I'm happy to engage.
Awesome. Foxtungsten.com. Steve Gray, thank you for being here. I appreciate your introduction. I hope the listeners would benefit from getting to know your story as well. And thanks for letting me be part of it.
Thanks, Steve. It was great to be here, and thanks for having me on.